gur níl míle maigur galéir. Bandon is the only poetry town picked by Poetry Ireland in Cork. So please check out the events that are going on either through Poetry Ireland website or Creative Bandon. Now, I wrote this poem after a workshop with Afric McGlinty, and it was a poem that I was trying to write for a long time about a man who was found buried in the walls of Bandon. It was called Walled Man. Blackberry moon of the lost sea melts like a fugitive in the rain. A rusty bell calls all those lavender-soaked hands before the wall. Buried in darkness, last cigarette still beating between his lips, his tongue stuck to the roof of his mouth. Grey teeth falling into the river of pink dream, hands pushed to a crumbling future. Walled man of Bandon, excavated at last, red veins like eels clinging to his last stitch.
Brilliant. Thank you, Catherine. It's the first time I've heard of that story, Man Buried in the Walls of Bandon.
Yeah, I'm not a native of Bandon, but that's the most interesting fact I've ever learned about Bandon. So.
Yeah, Bandon is a poetry town, one of the poetry towns at the moment, isn't it?
It is one of the 21 poetry towns in Ireland, yeah. Hey. And it's got a huge programme of events and workshops, and like, look it up, there's lots of things going on.
Great. Are you going to take your poem there and read it there?
I am going to take my poem there and read it there on the open mic on the 18th. And I'm also running an open mic night on the 17th for Culture Night in Bandon. So I might put my email into the chat maybe, and you can email me if you want to like read in Bandon in person. I think it's going to be an open air live event.
All right, lovely. Thanks, Catherine.
Are you okay, Paul?
That's the one I'll be participating in as well. That's the one I'll be in as well. So,
Sue Blue's gonna be here. Yes, yay, Sue Blue!
Let's gather some power for that place there.
Oh, super, thank you. Okay, next up on the mic we have Richard Pierce, Rishi McFerrish.
Welcome, Paul.
You're welcome.
The first poem I've done in 2 years, so I'm pretty chuffed to share it. So if you can remember what my poems, they might take a little minute. But anyway, it goes, after weeks of no sleep, I realized I hadn't been awake in years, condemning myself to waiting and fear, my heavy worth placed on the shoulders of another, smothering growth yet playing the dote, for it was easier to feel aware than be aware. And I would stare down anyone who acknowledged this in me, anyone who clued that I might have an unconscious issue, one that highlights a misuse of my time, a misuse of my life. For I was living a life that had already passed and cast its reflections onto my present, and I was hesitant to trust because my righteous experience dictated that only my reality be reflected. And instead of acknowledging the pattern, the smattering of explosions caused by resentment and the abandonment of self, I placed the blame on the other when they fell from their perched perfection that they never aspired to reach. And I leached onto these beliefs so intensely that the immensity clouded my vision and I couldn't engage in revision of myself. And I placed myself on a shelf separate from the issues. And in times of contentment, I fixated on a future, using it as a suture to seal something as solid. What we have, where we'll go, what I'll know, replaced where I am, what I have, and what I understand. And I reprimanded myself for never feeling settled in my skin without ever really letting truth in. And people get tired of that shit, because they see it when you won't. They say it and you don't hear. They feel it and you still remain in fear of ever seeing beyond yourself. So finally, I'm saying, fuck it. I want to see stars for me. I want to read for me, I want to write for me, I want to cook for me, clean for me, work for me, I want to live for me. So finally, I'm confronting this need, this ego, this lifelong fallacy, and I'm becoming someone in the know. I'm becoming someone in the now.
Excellent. Thank you, Richard. Thanks for that. I'm glad you're back on the bandwagon, and we hope to see and hear more of you in the events to come. So great to see you again after so long. Next up on the open mic, we have Jim Crickard.
Hey guys, nice to be here. I hope this isn't too crass and brings down the level. It's called Software Bugs. A team of sexually frustrated engineers incubate the larvae. Like proud parents, they wait for them to hatch from their brackets. They feed on emojis, poop out commas, and cry in Comic Sans. The engineers rub their hands, chapped from excessive masturbation. With their thin arthritic fingers, they click and drag bugs into boxes, then conceal them inside clandestine emails about Viagra. Before their bulk sent on the hyperlink lorries across the internet highway. A plague of digital termites with an appetite for destruction, leaving your browser windows swinging off their hinges, and a giant gaping hole in the portal to your passwords. Those hungry locusts inhale the nuts and bolts of code beneath the screensaver smile of your daughter, where a pandemic is now happening. Antivirus kicks into action, keeping downloads to a 2 megabyte limit. Apps begin to socially distance. You dismiss the antivirus notification. Your phone is hyperventilating. Beneath your daughter's smile are xenomorphs breeding an alien queen. There is a holy war of Terminators with black glasses and flamethrowers, pouring out fire until your phone is blown back to factory settings. For an hour and a half, you've been waiting for it to restore from a backup. And somewhere out there is an engineer rewarding themselves with an issue of Wire magazine in the lavatory.
Thank you, Jim. Don't worry, you're not banned. Thanks a million. That was very good. Next up, we have Pam Campbell.
Okay, here we go. How to read a scar. Creased, faded, new roads marked in bruised permanence. Waxing, focusing, waning, surrendering, curbing cells gone rogue. Scalpel parting skin, strip mining bodily fault. How to read you, my torso scattered scars. I read you like a river raging, pounding, banked boundaries, spilling epiphanies, promising peregrinations, two moon shield maiden cresting. Thank you.
Magic. Thank you, Pam. Thanks very much. And next up, we have Brian Franco.
Hello, everyone. I wrote this first poem at the same workshop Ms. Catherine Ronan was at earlier this afternoon. There is no title for it. My neighbor waves hello to me from his mailbox. Unaware, I used to catch tiny frogs as a child in Puerto Rico. Unaware, I used to believe I could walk on air in my dreams. I always notice his movie star perfect smile is above average large for his face, but I trust his sincerity more than other people's. His living room is lined with dozens of unglazed white clay sculptures of women in various poses. He claims with empty faces, he claims he can't translate facial features into beauty. The nude women seem to be oblivious to his presence. One reads a book, another sits in a chair, legs closed, and another lies on her side, one hand between her cheek and a compressed pillow. I like that they are unglazed. The look of raw, dry clay seems to be able to blend well wherever they are put. A windowsill or amongst glass whales and other showy sculptures on a glass shelled bottomlet wall unit. I imagine their faces as pensive, not emotional or curious. I went to one of his gallery shows. There wasn't one sculpture under $2,000. They are not a full foot in length, yet they are full of mystery. They are women who understand that fennel is an ingredient that can overtake a dish and know the right time of year to pick wild blackberries in the Maine woods. And a couple more shorter pieces for you really quickly. I so badly wish to exist in your ink. I like watching you from afar when you write your poetry. When I hear your pen scratch against paper as I watch from the other room, when your emotions are transformed into ink, I hope the thoughts that are encompassed in the ink are about me, about how you like to lay your head on my pillow when I wake and rise before you, how those moments I'm absent from our bed lead you to my scent, how I taste your tangerine mint lip balm whenever you enter a room, how you allow me to win arguments that have nothing to do with you and everything to do with my need to vent, how my mirror is more honest when you look me in the eyes, how I'm no longer afraid to cry in front of others, how knowing you exist in my life tells my tears it's okay to fall, how the sound of your voice lets me know hugs still exist. I hope the thoughts that become your poetry are laced with the love I feel for you, the love you infuse into my heart with your love. Finally, do poems with multiple homes pay extra property taxes? Home is not always a place with a roof or where I lay my head. Home is a place of comfort, a cocoon that allows me to fly away when I need to. Home is coated with familiarity, but can exist in total newness that becomes familiar. Home is where family is. Family is not always necessarily blood, but those who are willing to share your wounds and dress them without asking. Family can be home personified. Home can be when another poet reads a poem I wrote aloud as if I wrote it for their voice. They read my words and end up telling their own stories. My words dress their wounds unintentionally. Their voice cocoons my story, allowing it to fly somewhere new, a place familiar to a voice that found a home in my poem. My poem is as brand spanking new as it is familiar, and I have found a new home in someone else's voice. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks for that, Brian. Thanks a million. And next up, we have Brendan Mulcahy.
Hi, Paul. Everyone. It's a poem called "The Wave." I think it's a work in progress. I was buying a car the morning that you died. Living down the peninsula, my daughter miles away inland, I needed reliable wheels to keep in touch. I forget which grey it was. The well-off uncle over for the funeral would say gunmetal. It wasn't. Dad called at lunchtime and you died. I'd been up for the weekend before. We ate out at the Leaf Robinson. You'd been tired, but not obviously unwell. Now you were gone and Dad was alone. I didn't drive straight up. I can't remember the details. How do people ever give verbatim quotes? It was Whitbread Gold Cup Day at Sandown, late April, jump racing's last hurrah. I'd backed Topsham Bay for a repeat win. I must have eaten and watched the race before setting out. It won, in a roundabout way, at 10-1, the actual winner thrown out for interference. A loss reversed. I felt it as your parting wave, an unearned benediction from the clouds. All should be well. 12 months on, and Dad was in Northwick Park with pneumonia, there but not there, teasing us behind glass. I only pulled the Whitbread trick again Usher's Island at 25 to 1. I told him, and he smiled from far away. And that was it. Both parents lost in puissant springtime. The winning post, the finishing line.
Thank you, Brendan.
Okay.
Thanks for that. And next up, we have our reigning five-word challenge champion, Cathal Holden.
Hi, guys. I have an uncharacteristically short one for you this evening. I'm calling it octopus bottles. We take the form of things, like water, cuttlefish skins in octopus bottles, until it all goes, and all that's left is the deep, clinging to disappearing sides, sticky things like grammar and faces, until even they go. And then, just maybe, something else. Thank you. That was a wonderful evening. It's good to be here.
Fabulous. Thank you, Cathal. Thanks for that. We just have one person left on the open mic. I know there are a few who have not signed up yet, so you might want to... I see Alan Titley waving at me over there. Hey, Alan. It's lovely to see you. Alan, are you ready to go? Should we hear from you next?
Yeah, you can hear from me anytime if you like, you know.
Absolutely. It's all yours.
Okay, thanks. Well, as it's an Irish language night, partly at least, I have a poem which is a villanelle, and it's in Irish and in English. I've had an English, so I thought I like structure on things, so I'll read it in Irish first. And it's called Villanelle in Eigen Nalgortum, a villanelle against the algorithm. So it's a kind of a poem like that. So this is the Irish version of it, if I can read it with this bad light in this room. Nabiach tutsa id algortum in ish chihin aga do, ta nama dina hana ag omalan fes smacht, ag an arat has a vashin ag an vera ihan bo, mashin shachin a mega vruart a chihin is ga do, smuinig is farla hudra sa wil shkiritin sa rach, na tutsa dal da vohar fein is ta a shir e lo, on a wilter agoni a sarsin giwart is tihe is is lo, an smuinig is dna I mwes le gana hulacht, nor a bear the dealers dangin that fain van ain ago. Sha, foglas mud and doris, gach algortum gado. Panic shaw has shoe to sell ille, the gach jour hocht, at nor a hatter hooter and idderlean, shan quech chono, a shawl for a rash hooha, the heaveness is gone straw. For coffer dolomon and tail, the searsh is rascalocht, is na behos a gabrach, till it algortum gado. Nuni veg, ach irid, it cookie, it fionain fine gado. Yach dine le gapsrucht, the slán crean vacht, with twish the cor televis, a trochtri gach radio. Mar fannic, ni duelve id algortum inish, chihe na gado. And this is the English version, such as it goes. A villanelle against the algorithm. Don't let you be an algorithm now or even ever. Too many fall under its absolute control, given to fashion, the latest thing that's clever. So don't give in to pressure, it's now or never. To keep hold of your mind, forget the poles, and go your own way. Don't fear to sever your links with what you must think forever, those thoughts with which all are consoled and suck you in despite your best endeavor. Banish all that everyone else's stuff, whatever holds you back from just being another prole, but makes you stupid, remember. You are clever, and not just one more common eager beaver in the river of life, either swimming or on a roll, to what an algorithm can get or even lever. Nor for that matter either be a cookie, not much better than being one of that hill of beans without a goal, and not being you yourself, just another woolly wether in the grip of an anonymous algorithm for now or even ever. Okay.
Brilliant. Thank you. Thanks a million, Alan. I'm surprised it's taken so long for you to come back to us. I hope it's not because your algorithm villanelle took a year and a half to write.
No, it's actually, it's purely chance. That's all. Sometimes I just don't see that it's on, you know, that's all. So, I mean, it's not, don't believe me, it's not deliberate of any. It's just by pure happenstance. That's all. But I'm delighted to be invited all the time. And it's wonderful to see you all.
Yeah, and you too. Just giving you a dig there. I would love to see more of you anyway. Going forward.
You will. You might want to hear me, but you can see me all right.
Though. Oh, we always want to hear you, Alan. Always want to hear you. Okay. Okay. I think we just have a couple of more. Mags, did you want to say a poem on the open mic? Or am I? Did I miss it?
Trying to think of something. I couldn't find stuff. So I'll default to a song that I know in Irish. So it was a song from my father, really. Carnach and Nacht, then birds away. Gagunis, Gasmere. Shame of Wig, a meach to him, Machling and Nacht. A kiss of art, Asmus winter, the spare. The Mara. Near Silas Beg the Lord, Ig Fanach Lath, Mishag, Ishtach Gunshah, Ig Aun, Ig Fanach, Ig Mildan, Untas, the Taut, Tano, the Sonnet. Ach yapim shagr chorador, the anum heinau. Erun reelt is gliskarnach, to mir harare. O be gouramach, le the chri astori. We say a skadura, bahu ekmana, ekmethin, namisha namas, ekfrasa, eranuntus, ekfrasa, eranuntus. Ik frasto eron untas ana ana ana.
Variation on the theme.
Arouser fads, Camila Muggets, you know, fair play, Mags.
Out of practice musicians, we have no chance of real life. So I was doing a lot of improvising there at the end, let me tell you.
Thanks a million. Thank you for that. Okay, so just two more readers on the open mic. And our penultimate reader for this, which is our penultimate virtual event, hopefully, Rosalind Blue.
Thanks very much. I'm going to take my earplugs out so I can hear myself better. And I want to do... My version of Bilingual for the Night, and it's a poem that I wrote in 2014, and I recently finished the translation. I've read this before at another Zoom event. I forget which one. I'll read the German version first. It's a political poem, but here we go. Herrschaft. Wenn kalt und blicklos sich der Zukunft Pfade krümmen, sich bäumend buckeln unter herzlosem Kommando von Industriegiganten und globalen Banken und niemand mehr sein kleines Leben führen kann. Wenn unsere Körper kränkeln und ihr Leben lassen, weil nichts Gesundes mehr in unsere Mägen kommt
und unter kontrollierten Spitzelkameraaugen um Welternährung der neue kalte Krieg entflammt. Wenn liebende Familien auseinanderbrechen unter den Lasten ihrer Häuser, die zerbröseln, durch Welterwärmung oder Wahnsinns-Credit-Crash und ölige von Erdbeben zerfrackten Lügen. Wenn auf der Erde alle Wesen nur noch leiden, dann ist der Preis des alten Fortschrittspfads zu hoch. Dann ist die Zeit gekommen, alles abzuscheiden, was herz- und blicklos unsere ferne Zukunft formt. Wenn wir den Giganten ganz die Luft entsaugen, weil wir einfach nicht mehr ihren Lügen folgen, ist Komplettverweigerung ihres Plans die Chance, ihnen gründlich jeden Boden zu entziehen. Mit Überlebenskraft und Mut kann's uns gelingen, so wie einst David auch den Goliath bezwang.
So the title of the translation is a little bit funny for me because it's a foreign word, but I'll try again with the pronunciation. Hegemony.
When future paths are bending cold with sightless eyes and rear and bolt beneath commands from heartless ranks of corporate giants and impersonal global banks, and people can no longer lead their little lives, when soon our bodies ail and wane with lifeless frailty because we stuff our bellies full with foods unhealthy, and beneath the watchful eyes of camera spies the new Cold War flares up on how to feed the world, when loving families break apart and rip asunder, burdened down because their homes and houses crumble through global warming or the crazy banking crash and oily lies by earthquakes fracked and gashed, when here on earth all creatures suffer only anguish, the price of the old path of progress is too high. Then time has come for everything to be extinguished that without heart nor foresight shapes our future days. When we completely suction off the giant's breath because we simply will no longer follow lies, our chance is total non-compliance with their scheming to pull for good the grounds from under them away. We can achieve with grit and courage to survive what David did when he prevailed against Goliath.
Thanks very much.
Super stuff. Thank you, Sue. And that brings us to our final reader for tonight, Massimo Lavelle. You there, Massimo?
Yes. I think Margaret also wanted to go. Am I right?
Oh, I thought, Margaret, did you not read? I have a tick next to your name. How did that happen? Oh, my God. Massimo, let's let Margaret read, and we'll come back to you. Is that okay?
Good. All right.
All right, super. Sure, my apologies, Margaret.
Not at all. And very unusually for me, I have three words of Irish in this poem. And because I have no facility for Irish, I have no feel for the language, I just don't get it at all. So this is the only one I'll probably ever write with Irish words in it. Also, it's political and it refers to asylum seekers and the method of holding them in Ireland, the direct provision centres, and they have cameras up on all the corridors in those places, and their sole purpose, I would maintain, is holding pens in order to deport them. So it's called Cead Míle Fáilte. In this land of Cead Míle Fáilte, holding pens have been called for, cattle herded to slaughter, sword of Damocles' order. Cameras charged and recorded, ready to pounce and pronounce. Go back where you came from, Cead Míle Fáilte refrain. Remains rounded up, condemned and deported from this land of Cade Míle Fáilte to another fled from slaughter. Bounced like a football, boomeranged and shanghaied, dropped from the air a parcel of despair by the rulers of Cade Míle Fáilte, who forget that we will not forget bully bureaucrat bile, that we will continue to fight, call an end to deportation flights from this land of Cade Míle Fáilte.
Well done, Margaret.
And for anyone that doesn't know what Cade Míle Fáilte means, it means 100,000 welcomes. It's total hypocrisy from the top-down Irish state.
Thank you, Margaret. Good that you got a few Irish words in there. You might try and get a few more in, you know, or even, you know, could change it to Cade Míle Feck Offs like or something like that. I don't know. But nice poem. Thank you very much for that. Okay, that brings us to our final reader for tonight, Massimo Lavelle.
Always such a huge honor to be here. And good to see everybody. I thought that I was dead for a while, but the living still see me, so I smile. I leave all my skeletons in a pile, and I resurrect every moment's a revival. I'm not dead, I just live in denial, the flesh of a man and the dreams of a child. I may marry my dreams down the aisle, but if I divorce them, I pray there's no trial. I'm not only searching for ecstasy or a life on this earth that is heavenly. All I want is the place I'll forever be, to be a place where this pain cannot enter me. In case there is no great assembly of angels to save me from entropy, all I want is the love from my memory to stay with me for the deep sleep ahead of me. Life is beautiful, that's a sure thing, but God knows I'm tired of hurting. Still something inside me is certain that love is the truth when you pull aside the curtain. See, I am no healer, no shaman, but one thing I know that we all have in common. Find peace in yourself, and the world begins calming, if in the end, yours is the world we are all in. A wisdom not ancient, but timeless, headless, ahead of all guidance, brainless, but mindful, not mindless, bodiless, but not heartless or spineless, earless, but hears through the vibrance, free from an iris, but seeing, not eyeless, tongueless, but cries through the silence, finding in lowness the highest of highest. See, I am a student of levity, but also a servant of gravity. Though I give a gift that is heavenly, sometimes it's sung as a tragedy. Of life, I am far from a master. Were I to play God, it would be a disaster. That's why I'm no prophet, no preacher, no pastor. I'm just a poet who likes internal rhyme schemes and deep chatter. I heard the stars have a pulse, kind of like the heartbeat in us. I heard we are made of their dust. Why, for a human to shine is a must. Starlight, starlight, catch me all starry-eyed on a starry night. Stars are signs we might be all right. If seeing deep space without stars is a sorry sight. I thought I was a star that had fallen, or maybe a star that's still falling, or not yet a star, rising, evolving, seeking that place where all light finds belonging. Because with great heights come great elevations, like great gifts bear great expectations. Great sorrows bear great educations. But without love, these are fake revelations. Because I thought that I was dead for a while, but I was just living in denial. The living still see me, so I smile. In your eyes, is my revival. Thank you so much. Peace, peace.